I don't remember playing it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, I'm posting this video because I feel like Mike Booth and Sean Fain especially need to hear this to know how we feel on the floor as far as those that can retire. This whole SAP thing that you guys agreed to is the worst mess. That, I mean, I've been through a lot with this union and with this company doing me bad, but this like is topping the cake for me right now, especially being that so many people that wanted to retire that are now in a situation where they don't know when they can retire in order to get this $50,000 bonus. A bonus that, you know, before this contract even passed, people that, you know, thought that, you know, people that knew that they could retire thought that they could just get it, that they could just retire and go. Now you guys are coming out with all these different stipulations of who can get it and when they can get this bonus. Man, you guys are totally screwing the membership. And it's stuff like this that makes union paying members feel like you care about the company's interest more than you care about the union paying members. Like, I just really do not understand. First of all, the whole 2% thing, GM acting like, you know, we can't have an exodus of people going out at one time. And the thing is, yeah, we understand that. But here we are, 4 months after this contract was signed, GM hasn't hired anyone to even worry about backfilling us so that people could go out. And now, you know, we're in the March, going into April soon, and people can't even leave until June, which is 6 months after, you know, if a person just got 30 years in January, well, they don't even qualify in my situation. But a person that just got 30 years in December, they can't even go out on this first group for June, July, and August. So therefore, they can't just go out after 30 years. If they want this bonus, they have to, you know, pass 30 and a half years, you know, at 30 and a half years. They might be in the 31, 32, 33 years. You keep saying that Mike Booth, you said, well, everyone will be able to get this money. Man, y'all, you do realize this contract is almost 5 years long, right? Like, so really, you know, you might have to wait. It could be 4 years because you guys aren't giving us any information about, oh, well, GM hasn't given us a date of when the second and third window is. It's like it's a game. It's literally like a game. Like, General Motors plays games with us, and our international union, it's like y'all okay with it. Sean Fain, you act like you're just cool with this. You know, it's like, no, we have no say-so over this. We're getting screwed. Ford and Chrysler didn't have to go through the whole only 2% can go out type stuff. And, yeah, I understand our membership is larger than theirs as far as those that can retire. But like I said, we're 4 months after this contract was signed, and General Motors hasn't even tried to do any damage control of people trying to go. And you want to know why? It's because now, whereas General Motors used to hire people, they didn't have a problem hiring people up, you know, for 3 years and 4 years and keeping them as temps and keeping them as part-time temps. They didn't have any problem with that when they knew they could just keep them as a temp for 3 or 4 years. But now that they got to hire them after 9 months, General Motors isn't so quick to try to hire someone to replace people that's trying to retire. Therefore, we're getting screwed by having to stay longer than we really want to. You know, there's people with, you know, 35, 40 years, depending on how many people in their plant, they might not even be able to go out. You know, they might be stuck until the next window. You know, and you guys haven't even given us any information of when the next window is. It's like everything is like a crapshoot. Like, y'all literally play like our lives with a crapshoot. You know, that's why when this whole contract came out, I tried to tell everybody, most people that I could, to vote no on this contract because there was too many holes in it, too many things that weren't completed. And something like this is now why many of us were saying vote no on this contract, because stuff isn't written in stone.
Okay, we can't play all of that, but you get the gist. That's Brian Teague. And it's April 14th, Scotty. We're moving right along, buddy. And I do have, if I can find it again, an email. Where in the hell is my mail at? it's somebody from 598. And it says, I work at Chevy Truck and a member of Local 598. I know you have a lot of listeners, and I want to say how disappointed in Eric and the other kiss-ass people of our local. I want to state I did not vote for Stephanie, but I do not condone how she is being treated. Grown men and women are butthurt because they lost an election, so they treat our new president like crap. I just want to use your show to tell them all to grow up. And by the way, I'm not the only person who sees this. Eric, you are a prick and a little child. People are calling him Popcorn Boy. I don't know what that means, but hey, Popcorn Boy. That works. I will support our new president all the way. Thanks for reading, Jimmy. There
wow.
you go. Whoever Jimmy well, is. Do you know
we
a
had
Jimmy?
A problem.
I knew a lot of Jimmy.
there's a lot of Jimmys in our plant. Had that problem with the popcorn. We call it the popcorn gate. Everybody's making a joke of it. Because the president wanted to make sure the money was being put in the right place. I'm not saying for the wrong reason or anything like that. They just want to follow up on follow the money. That's what they wanted to do. So with that being said, that wasn't really happening. So I don't think. I'm not 100% sure how
right.
the whole thing went completely down. So mm-hmm. what Eric and the committee body did was they went and bought their own popcorn machine.
Oh,
and
really?
They're
going
to do it down on Fifth Avenue.
Oh,
that way
God.
We don't have to worry about anybody at the hall. That's what that's about.
Is that right? Oh, I didn't know
yeah.
that. That's
yeah.
pretty childish. Yeah, okay, now I understand Popcorn Boy.
Exactly.
Okay. I got
so that
it now.
Said, well. Right. So that being said, so now you kind of understand where that one's coming from.
Yeah, now
so.
I do. Okay.
yeah.
Popcorn Boy.
Woo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, how childish. How freaking childish. Doesn't all that money go to charity or is supposed to? I thought.
They did that for the old newsboys. That
yeah.
all went to the old newsboys.
Charity, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you. Wow. Okay. Well.
So
they, I guess Jim is not the only one that sees what's going on.
No. No, you know, like I said, you know, you see these, you see special appointed people, you see committeemen giving up their jobs and going to
giving
special appointed
your,
jobs.
Giving
yep,
up your
you,
jobs?
Yeah, and what people understand is when you do that, you are elected by your constituents down in your district.
Uh-huh.
And then you give up your elected position. You basically tell everybody, screw you. I'm going to do this. And I feel that's wrong. I just do.
Yeah, you
I
get voted
very wrong.
In, voted in to take care of the people. And and then
right.
you get hurt over, is this all because we have a new president, a female president?
No, this started before that.
Okay.
People were giving up their elected positions and going ahead and taking special appointed positions or other appointed positions in the plant. And basically telling the people that voted for you, screw you, I got a better job now.
Oh, okay.
So good luck with that. And hopefully, you know, you might get stuck with my alternate, your alternate, who you might or might not like or think is a good job. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Either way,
well,
I'm leaving you. So
well,
I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
Which, well, had I been chairman, that would not have been allowed. Just saying.
No, it shouldn't be allowed at all. That's terrible. Oh.
Well,
They voted him in, and now they know what kind of character these people have. Let me go to the switchboard just in case somebody wants to get in. Oh, Adrian wants on. Adrian, here you're on.
Hello.
Hi, Adrian.
How's everyone? Hello. How are you both?
Good. Good, I guess.
Good. You know, Scott, it's just a shame that adults, having left the childish game back in elementary school.
Isn't it true? That is
so
true.
It's so sad. So you lost. Okay, well, make it better. You know, there's other elections. Maybe you'll run the next time. Maybe not, but...
right.
You know, they should celebrate our first female president of Local 598. That's what they should be doing.
Well, you know, that's really nice. That's a nice gesture. But irregardless to whether it's a female or a male, that is your president.
Hear, hear.
Support your president.
Yep.
Help your president. How are things going to get better in your facility if you don't?
Right.
I might sound a little crazy to those that don't understand about this childishness and bullying. You know, that's one thing I can't stand, is bullying.
Right.
You know, you just, it's just sad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's a power control struggle. And
who's outside? Is somebody outside?
That's me, and I'm walking right back in.
Well, please do. Sound like you're underwater, Scotty.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's supposed to not sound. Is that better?
I'm out of the way. Better. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It. You know, historically in the past, I think most of the large locals, the president ran the hall and the community outreach, what have you, you know, so on. And then the chairman handled the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And the grievance procedure and all that. What happened is Stephanie come on as a trustee and questioned things. They don't like being questioned. When Hatfield was on there and questioned them, they absolutely hated it. That's why they made sure that he never got reelected again. And then Stephanie won, and she questions things. That's what we're supposed to do. You're the trustee of the local. Your one job is to look out for the membership.
So, that's a fact.
That, you know, and...
No, you got to sign your name when you're a trustee. You got to sign your name that everything's on the up and up. And you put your name on that paper, you better be right. You better be right, because you're liable. You're liable as much as they are.
Yes, you could literally go to jail along with the president and the financial secretary for falsifying documents, financial documents at that. So, I don't know. It is sad that it's going on.
It doesn't seem that our trustees at the Solidarity House have ever gotten into any trouble when you had all that corruption going on.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's a thing of if somebody likes you.
Right.
Right. That's the truth.
You know, because I had saw a lot of things about them trustees that sold out house. And I was trying to figure it out, Well, that's what made me run for trustee back in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but I couldn't even get nominated. That's
well, hell no, they don't want you there. Are you kidding?
No, they don't want you
right there.
No.
Yeah.
And it tickled me because I pretty much knew. I knew what was up, you know, because I know quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And so it kind of tickled me because it was like, you know what, I could really cause you all a lot of trouble.
Uh-huh.
And, but is it worth it?
Right.
Yeah, you know, at that time, and I don't know, they may still do this, but there's a lot of people up there that go for bad, so to speak. And they have a way of doing things. But, you know, I surrounded myself around, you know, with some people that was familiar with stuff. They weren't necessarily in the UAW. But as they told me, they had my back, and better not nothing happen to me or my family. So I was like, you know, because I'd heard of things years back, things that they've done to people. And it's like, you know, you do all of this for what? Why are you doing all of this? That's how I knew they were stealing.
Oh, yeah. I know we had a president of Local 598. And some people pulled him right out of his vehicle at the red light on Bristol and Van Slyke and beat him pretty bad. And he resigned his presidency and he retired, actually. He went ahead and his last name was Pruitt. I won't forget that. Yeah, you're right about that. We had a shop chairman that lasted, I think, a week,
A
week and a half, and he resigned and retired.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. I know all about that bully bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, you know about that little element that of things that they try to use scare tactics on people.
Yeah.
And it's like, please. Actually, like I tell people, I've been a UAW member all my life. All my life. I was born into it. So
yeah.
Like, don't bother me. Because I'm not going to bother you. But I was happy, you know, that they found out about the corruption. I mean, of course,
eventually,
you know, many of us have been talking about it.
Yeah. Eventually they find out, don't they? Eventually they get caught.
Eventually, yes. It'll all surface. And, you know, this is why I believe that we have a treasurer now that's performing her job duties.
Well, I believe in her. I believe until I'm shown something different, you damn right.
Exactly.
I'll give you my trust. But you know what I wish they'd do? These people that ripped us off, ripped everybody off in our union, I wish they would stop paying their pension, their UAW pension. That's what I wish.
In actuality, they really should have. Because that was an embezzlement.
Yep.
So how do you get a pension from that?
I don't know. I tried to explain that to my cousin, and she just thought if you get fired for stealing, that you lose everything from that local. Union. I said no, hell no. They're
talking about your cousin.
All their money they got, and it was during the COVID, so they got to go home and stay at home. So they, you know, what kind of punishment is that? They didn't get punished.
Yeah,
she
and I talked about that, you know.
Yeah.
And because the federal government doesn't work like that.
No. No.
And,
my cousin
and,
worked for the federal government, so yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, I don't understand. And even the companies in which we work for, they don't operate that way either.
No, the guy, the supervisor, that superintendent got caught stealing trucks. He didn't get no
yeah.
trouble. All he did, he was told to resign, and that was it. And they
and
didn't
he,
want.
He did, yeah,
ahead.
He didn't do that. He took him to court. Let alone the rest of the story. He took him to court, got it off. They had to hire him back, pay him back pay. Then he quit. Or retired.
Oh,
he retired on him.
See, I don't remember
oh,
that.
Wow.
I don't remember
yeah.
that at all. Are we talking
yeah.
about the same person?
No, well, it's been, was it the, I'm talking about the quality guy that they found three or four Suburbans, brand new Suburbans in his house.
Oh,
untitled.
No. He had somebody working at El Sera. They were working.
Okay.
He had a little gang that did all this too. He wasn't he was a ringleader, but he
right.
had somebody at El Sera, and they would, I don't know what the hell, how they did it, but it was Suburbans and Blazers.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. That's a long time ago. Yeah. They just told him to resign. They didn't even want it in the newspaper. And you never heard of, you know, they kept it out of the newspaper. They kept everything tight.
Right.
For some reason, I don't know why in the hell they wouldn't want that in the newspaper. I have no idea. But, yeah, the guy didn't get in any trouble. He just lost everything. I think he had about 12 years, 13 years. And he worked upstairs. And back then, we had the body shop was upstairs. And that's where I worked, upstairs in the body shop.
Right. Wow. Now, there's been a few instances of people doing some wrongdoing at our plant, you know. And not just management folks. There's been some wrongdoing by union folks, too.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My friend, I used to be a friend of his 35 years ago. He was walking out with his big Playmate. He had a battery in it. And it was easy to see because that battery was heavy and his
right.
shoulder was down unless he had a big old corned beef sandwich in there. Well, they stopped him. They stopped him, and that's the last I seen of him. Let me get 517 on. It's spinning. 517, you are on.
Hi, Don. Thanks for having me on this evening. And thanks, Scott, for inviting me. Hi. Adrian,
go ahead.
You
two know what you've got to talk about. Just get it going.
You guys got so many subjects going on. Let me try and address a couple of those. Back in 1980, Don might remember, they had a big layoff at the truck plant, well, everywhere. And I think
yep.
it was 16 or 18 supervisors kept punching the people in that got laid off.
I remember that.
They got a W-2 the next year, like, you know, $40,000 or something, and they didn't even go to work. They
I
fired
know
every one of them
personally.
Supervisors, yeah.
Yeah, I know two of them personally that made over $100,000, and they eventually got caught. But one of them, I know, got back in, and it took, I think, 2 years, but he got back in. But the supervisor, of course, got fired, and
Some of them
yeah,
went to jail, too, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've already had a lot of them go to jail here in our union, and I can tell you for a fact we're working on stuff, and there's going to be some more go real soon. Just watch the news. We're working on it, and it's been a little you know, a work in progress. It's taken a while.
Oh, yeah.
Clean up when we see it, guys. So, and Adrian. Jimmy, about Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an old saying, be careful of the toes you step on. They might be connected to the ass you got to kiss. Okay.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah. You might find Stephanie not just president of Local 598. You might find her not so far down the road as president of the International UAW. So be careful, gang, because, you know, she's already got reasonable authority over all of you as she makes local appointments along with the chairperson. And they recommend for international appoint or removal, because the removal process starts, the DOC 46 removal process starts with the president and chairperson. So just be a little careful out there.
Ah.
She wields a lot of power, a lot of it. When she got elected, I said, you know, congratulations. You've just gotten yourself a lot of authority. Be careful how you use it. You know, and she said, I understand, you know, and just be wise. And she said, absolutely, you know, and I know that she is that kind of person. She doesn't have to be reminded of that, but it's just who I am to say, hey, just remember, you know, this is awesome authority, and be wise with it. And it's always well received when I tell just about anybody that. So to talk about Brian Teague, Brian's a really good young man. And his issue about the 2%, I don't know how many people know about the Pension Protection Act of 2006. And just remember the administration, House and Senate, that was elected in 2006. But that Pension Protection Act says the following. If your pension funding falls below 80%, you get a 50% cut in your pension. If it falls below 60%, the pension ceases to be paid out. I was in a discussion Tuesday morning with the OPEIU rep at Local 652. He's their secretary. They're the person that comes, you know, greets you, tells you what, you know, he gets your stuff and tells you where, you know, who to call. He brings up and, you know, gets you back in where he's supposed to be. And he said, well, ours is good. Well, yeah. A multi-employer pension funds, this administration that's there now, corrected those about, I don't know, 2.5 years ago. The single employer pension funds have not been corrected. So he was comparing apples to oranges to say our OPEIU is fine and we're doing great even though our funding fell below, right? Because you got money from the government, $30 billion to fix all those pensions. Much smaller complement when you have a multi-employer system. And, of course, the single employers, that's what we are. I got my, I don't know, Don, did you get your five-page thing about our pension? It was 78% funded, but interest adjusted was 96, and that was the last one. And they reported that in 2022. They didn't outline that in our one for 2023, the end of last year. Actually, the snapshot date is the 1st of October. So that's the 30th when they have that. So, so I had to call it stop. That had it at 96%. And then it showed that they'd lost $10 billion in the pension fund. They had overpaid, you know, they paid out $10 billion more than the interest that they got from the pension fund. and that represented about 15% of the money. So at the end of the day, on September 30th, October 1st, last September, interest adjusted was 81%. That's my calculation. They didn't write it down, so you had to do it yourself. Any little hiccup will push that pension into a reduction of 50%. Now, if you take, I forgot to tell you, all of those little buyout deals, packages, they don't come from the corporation. Since they started in 1990-ish, they've come out of the pension fund. Somebody realized they would, with a 2% retirement and a $50,000 to each one of those 2%, that they'd push the pension fund over, and they don't want to take the elected heat for that, the political heat for it. That's my read on it. It's just my opinion. But I don't think you'll ever see any 2% go out with this pension fund in the status that it's in until somebody, Congress, and you, that's the biggest shit show you'll ever see lately, tries to fix some of this stuff. And they can't even fix what they got going on down there. And there's some answers to it. You can't have the corporation buying $10 billion of stock back 8 days after they settle the agreement. It's still under protest and appeal.
I have a question, though. Is it legal for them to take buyout money from the pension fund?
That's what they've been doing, Adrian, for since it started. And there is language in the Pension Protection Act, special attrition payments, I think is the language they use. It is part of the Pension Protection Act. So they know they're doing it. Okay? And so as bad as I hate to see these guys getting their UAW pension, and they probably ought to just fall back onto their General Motors or wherever they come from, because they carve out their other pension. In other words, they get they don't get two pensions. They get one that's a much higher pension than most, and then they carve out their other pension. So as much as I'd like to see them not get that at all, and they just get their corporate pension, the EEOC, I'm sorry, ERISA. ERISA says that it's a felony for anybody to mess with anybody's receipt of a pension. So if we were to do that, or if anybody were to do that, it winds up being a felony to try and take somebody's pension. Just address that a little bit and tighten that up a little. That's why they didn't, to my knowledge, and that's how that was. We have another issue that Scott asked me to come on about. Scott, I, and Donnie, and Dick talked about this ad nauseum. I don't know, was it 2013 or 14, guys? Down in Chattanooga?
My phone had it muted.
Yeah.
Dick Dangent was, a lot more schooled on this than any of us, and he helped us to learn about it. We support unions 100%. We support American unions and American unionism 100%.
Right.
100 and more. Some time ago at Volkswagen in Chattanooga, the German company wants to put in their own style of union down there, and somehow they've cajoled the UAW into buying into that. And back in when they tried that, for, I think it's 14, I think it might have been 14, when they were doing it then, they put in the certification vote, they put in a neutrality agreement, and that's your contract until you get one. That's a neutrality agreement, okay? It's in most all of them. That's not the problem.
Right.
The problem was inside the neutrality agreement, they put in the German-style works council. And that then becomes the problem. Because the German-style works council, the election is held by management. Yeah, management holds those elections. Half of the works council has to be salaried employees. The other half are from the workforce. They once get there, they're pretty much there for life. It's hard to get them out, largely because anybody that runs or votes against them and they find out about it, over in Germany, there's retaliation. You can translate the German Works Council, complaints for the German Works Council, into German. Just say German Works Council complaints and put it into a translator, English, and then translate it to German. It's beschworden, besdeutschen, betreibsrats. And the last four letters are actually rats, R-A-T-Z, or R-A-T-S. So that's rather interesting. And that means German Works Council complaints. There's hundreds of thousands of them. They liken it to Eastern Germany before the wall came down. Vote for president there was 98% to 2. And that's what they liken these votes over there for German Works Council. Again, it's very well controlled by management. They put it in the last time out. This is an education for these folks that are going to be voting this next week. And I understand that they had a meeting at their hall today with the German Works Council folk there. They're not telling you, I don't imagine, what you're going to hear here this evening. There's only a few people that are truly experts on the German-style Works Council. I was educated to be one of those three or four in the country besides those that are administering this mess. That's why Scott, and he and Don were part of this as well when we talked about it some years ago, just by matter of education. Again, right. We support unions. The German-style Works Council violates Section 7. That's Title 29, at least in my opinion. Title 29, U.S. Code, Section 157, otherwise known as Section 7. And that allows employees to organize, elect representatives of their own choosing, and to elect, and for those folks to represent them in a collective bargaining way, and in a way for a protected and concerted activity, and that's been expanded in the interest of the members by the NLRB cases over the years. Protected and concerted activity in the interest of the members. Where that becomes problematic, if this does go through, you're going to see a whole lot of folk come out of the woodwork and make us look bad as unions yet again, United States unions, because this has happened at that place, and it's against the law to have management running that election. It's against the law for salaried people to be on that works council, and here comes the rub, another rub. When you have a problem, let's say you want an ergonomic mat, yours is wore out, and you'd like a new one, and the supervisor said, "Oh no, we're not going to give you one." Management up, you know, you talk to whoever, and they say, "Nah, that looks good from here." You don't have the right to file a grievance under a German-style works council. You personally write a complaint to the works council. They come out of their cushy offices and they meet, consider, and decide your complaint. And if you don't like it, their answer, your only essential justice, is to take it to the outside court system at your own expense. Are you starting to like this thing here or not? Right? Yeah, it isn't an American union. The German-style works council. And we don't know if it's being put in there or not. All we know is they addressed the local union down there today. So everybody needs to understand that. The last time, and you heard Adrian talk, that she didn't get nominated. I didn't get nominated either. I was told before the election, if you get elected, we here at Chattanooga, Volkswagen, you bring down a regular charter, and we will, without question, certify under the UAW. They will not, or didn't at that time, did not certify a German-style works council. So if they vote against it, they didn't vote against unions. They voted against an illegal bunch of crap from another country by a very, very controlling corporation. Volkswagen controls some, but 45 nameplates, something like that, that they had before. And there's some global union association that we are affiliated with as the UAW. It used to be that we had, previous vice president lady, Virginia. Anyhow, she was on. She was our representative there. And it's okay. It's just like AFL-CIO. You know, we have representatives there. We run our own union.
Kathy Clay.
And they're trying to push this. No, it was different. It was, who's the, Cindy Estrada was our representative.
Okay.
So it was Cindy that was up. And Kathy might have been there after Cindy left.
Kathy Clay was for General Motors. You're talking about Cindy Estrada.
Yeah. Our vice
president. Castile.
Right.
Castile was down there. I remember when they announced that on TV, and he just looked like he was ready to just to be done with all of it. And that was under Bob King.
That was under Bob King, and I think Gettelfinger started this mess because, as you know, none of the Tier 2s are actually members. They're non-member employees, and I think they're doing that in order to try and jam this German-style works council down their throat in a few more years once they get everybody retired finally.
Right.
So just be aware of that. That's speculation, conjecture. We don't know. But there's a reason that they're not making you guys members, full members, because you want to see how, why? All you got to do is look at how management handles you. When you leave the corporation, you separate, you don't retire, and you no longer have any union affiliation whatsoever. While there as a non-member employee, and it's only supposed to be for 3 consecutive months, and that violates our Constitution as well. And that's part of that appeal, right? So, there's a lot of stuff going on out there. So this German-style works council, we could have a union down there, a regular chartered UAW union. We could probably have it down there tomorrow. I would come on this show and any other show and sell that to those folks down there, the folks that wanted to certify should I become president, and bring that down to them, a regular charter. If they will, I don't know what they're going to do now. I can't speculate, but they did not in the past put up with that crap. It is illegal, in my opinion.
If I remember right, when they were asking questions in the UAW, all they tell them was you'd have a voice. They said, well, we've already got a voice.
Yeah.
We want to know about pay, pensions. They wouldn't answer the questions.
Well, that's when they gave, you know, we didn't get anything either in that contract, and they seen it. And remember, yep. We had a few people call into the show.
Yep.
And
yep.
It worked down there and said, why would we want to pay union dues to a union that doesn't do anything for you?
Right.
Oh. There's no appeal. No appeal process. No appeal process. In other words, there's no second step. No, you know, step and a half, second step, third step, no umpire. Their decision's final. And half of them are management. And management runs the election. All of this is illegal, according to Section 7.
So who is driving this? Is Sean Fain driving this? Is this one of the vice presidents that's driving this?
As you may recall, we got threatened the last time we even brought it up.
Yep.
Okay. We got threatened. Because I was with you guys then, right?
Right.
And we got threatened. Right. Remember our friend down there, remember, Monday morning, right?
Monday morning.
So, yeah. I appreciate all his wisdom over the years. He was a pretty straight-shooting guy, you know. This is being driven. I mean, Bob King spent the last, retired, he spent the next year or two over in Germany off and on, just roaming around over there at the, Ardheim, what I understand, had or with Jules Kidd with him, my understanding. Over there just palling around with all the folk over there and bringing that crap here. They still have an office in Spring Hill. It's been there this whole time.
Yeah, I think it's Local 40.
Had no business. Yep.
I think it's Local 42 they have down there, don't they?
1853. Yeah. 1853. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, they got an office down there, and we've had people go challenge it down there, and they get slapped down pretty hard, real hard, actually. You know. And I don't want to get into the names, but some of our friends that you hear on the show from time to time, really good friends. And by the way, thank you, Adrian, for all the work you've done over the years and for your friendship. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. I mean, you know, you're my brother too. You know, that's always going
to
be.
You know. Yeah. And you know, we didn't get nominated. I mean, there was an audible gasp. As we look back for a minute, there was an audible gasp when my name wasn't placed in nomination at the 2018 convention. You could hear it loudly, an audible gasp. They were all hoping at least to have a choice, and it didn't occur. That's water over the bridge, but it is what it is. Could we do better for our members? I believe we all could. We were a pretty good team. So, anyhow, that's about all I have on the with regard to the German Style Works Council. You know, I don't think it's a good thing for any union in the United States to bring that crap here at all.
No.
When we go down there with a clean certification and charter, I'm pretty sure they'll go down there and they'll vote for it. And that's just not just at Volkswagen. I bet you see the same thing at Mercedes and all the rest of them that are there in the South.
You know, you can't be doing
this hoodwinking crap.
I'll go back in the archives and see if I can, because we lost a lot of shows, a lot of early shows, and I'll see if I can find those shows about Dick Danjen was on, you were on. And maybe I can find those shows and I can play those when we take our summer break. I can set it up where it'll play on Sunday night if I can find them.
I just summarized. I mean, we talked about it. We take a little element every week and talk about it, you know, for about 6 weeks we did that, I think. But I just summarized pretty much all of it in just 15, 20 minutes without getting into a lot of detail on this stuff, you know, because... but that Section 7 is real clear on how you're supposed to have a union. Mm-hmm. Management ain't supposed to be part of it. Not at all. They don't run the election.
Not at all. Hell no, not at all.
You guys do what you want to do down there. I think our union's wasting our union dollars going down there with that in mind. And maybe you ought to think about who ought to have been elected a long time ago.
Yeah, our union does good.
Any questions about any of that? I mean, I just
we had
any questions in the chat
room. We had a lot of callers. If you'd like to push one on your keypad, I'll get you right on.
Right. We're going to go another half an hour, right?
Yeah, I added a half hour to the show.
Oh, that's all I have. I'll just mute here and listen, I guess. So.
Well, just there's other things going on. Here's 586. Let me get 586 on. 586, you're on.
Yeah, but that man was right on spot because I've been UAW Teamster since 1976. And when union went to management, put it in paper, on writing, set it on the plant manager's desk, says, we got 15 minutes to settle this. And if we don't, the kids are going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Management looked at it and laughs. And guess what? 2 seconds, 3 seconds after, 15 minutes, we went home. That was on his desk.
Hit the stop
button. Like, hey, fuck it. You know, this is going to go the way it is. If we can't get this straightened out, we're going home. You can get all your people out there in management that are sitting in the desks not wanting to go along with this because it's a 50-50 situation, union and management. If it ain't straightened out by 15 minutes, we're going home. Nowadays, it can sit on a desk for eons and go up to Cindy Estrada, and she'll send me a letter, no merit. I don't even know who she is. Who the heck is she? She's not there no more. Not trying to knock the union, but some of the people in the union, which are not the people on the floor, are wondering what the hell they're doing up there, making $200,000-$300,000 a year, and we're going back to work before we even vote on the last contract. Oh, this is historical. Yeah, it is. We gave everything up that we had so we could see what we're going to get at this next deal. And Fain comes in there. It's historical. Yeah, we got this. We got that. Yeah, right. You got it for the people in the next 4.5 years. We only had 3-year contracts. Why did they extend it to 4? Now 5 or 4.5? I'm retiring. I'm retired April 1st this year. Thank goodness. But what are the people that are there going to get if there ain't nothing there? Because that plant could be gone in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to close it. They'll idle it. My plant was all ICE transmissions, Van Dyke transmission. We're going into EV. It's falling apart. The lightning, we did lightning.
Okay.
I started out the lightning truck, right? Put it up against the gas. It doesn't matter. That thing's not going to pull my 25-foot profile without plugging it in, but I can stop and fill up the car and the boat if I need to in about 30 minutes and get a coffee and count my money. But today they put the lightning off in the, you know, they're not going to put the lightning EV in the lightning anymore. I mean, the lightning was a nice truck, don't get me wrong. Ford's got some nice vehicles, but, you know, second phase is in Mexico. So our taxpayer dollars, American people's, spread it up here in America, right? It was a flop. So we're going to send it over to Mexico because there's phase two. Well, they already got the line here in America because the government paid for it, our tax dollars. It's not working here, so they're going to send it over there. Why can't they bring the second phase here instead of over there? Because American taxpayers' dollars are setting it up here and it's going over there because it's cheaper. And it's not so much cheaper because the American people can't afford cheaper for corporations. They want to save a dollar just like the human people do. You know, I remember back in the days, my dad could go to work, make $80 a week, and support a family of four with a wife. One car, he didn't have to have two cars because mom stayed home with the kids.
That's right.
Dad was lucky to get home if he could because of the weather. And he was only driving a Falcon. Guess what? Nowadays, you can't even afford a Falcon because they don't make anything that reliable or people can afford. Now it's got electronics. You know, you got your heated seats, your heated steering wheel, you got your sensors. Nothing wrong with that. But you got to bring it back to reality. Today's people aren't making the money we used to make, and what we used to make went a lot further than what we're making now.
It's hard to afford an $80,000 truck.
What's that?
It's hard to afford an $80,000 truck.
Yeah, because back in the day when my dad was driving a Falcon, he had a $17,500 house, making $80 a week. Now you can make
the same.
Now you can make $1,200 a week, and the government takes taxes. They always do. And it's hard to even, you know, go out to dinner today. Go to a fast food place, you're better off going to a restaurant. It'll be hot. Same place.
Yeah.
But times have changed, and people got to remember that, you know. We're not any younger, but the younger generation has to see what we saw, because today it takes two people, and we wonder why the kids are out of hand if they got children. You know, child care and things we didn't have to worry about. We didn't have to worry about a child seat back in my day. My mom or dad helped me. Whoever was driving drove.
When I started General Motors, I started making $6 and some change when I started in 1978.
Yep.
And I had a child, a wife, and a house. And I don't know what in the world my dad, how, you know, you think back, what the hell did he start? You know, he retired a long time ago. I forgot.
Yeah.
How in the hell did you get all this stuff? Brand new car, brand new LeSabre every 5 years or so, or whenever it started rusting out. That's when he'd get rid of it.
Because he knew he had a savings. That's what they did back then. They didn't live check to check.
No.
Like people today. I can't believe some people are forced today. They live check to check, and, you know, you get to overtime, they're going out and buying a boat or snowmobiles. Next thing you know, they're up on a board for sale because they can't afford them.
That's
and they're giving them away and taking a loss. And it's crazy, but that's what happens.
If you don't mind, I'll add a little something to that. If somebody hired into the very plant where the sit-down strikes took place, I hired him in 1969, and all through the 70s, we paid off our Social Security first week, May 1st, plus or minus a week, because and we never got any overtime in the month of January, because then, I mean, we didn't get overtime, so if I saw a robin outside that night, I'm going, well, it'd be overtime, sure enough. As soon as I seen a robin, we had overtime. It's a little interesting measure that I had, but, you know, so that was about a month ago when they come back, you know, and so we'd get that kind of overtime, and a lot of it. But we'd pay off our Social Security first around the 1st of May. And then you still had two-thirds of a year to go. Today,
but now you work at
100, bear with me a second. $168,800 is the payoff for Social Security. If you paid that off the first week of May, then you'd be somewhere around $500,000 a year for the year. And that was our buying power. And they've suppressed the wages so much that we're actually below what minimum wage was back then. That's our buying power, below what minimum wage was back then.
Yeah.
So
Ryan,
now, some of them working a lot of overtime, but go ahead.
And Rex said that my best day is when I got out of IBEW 309. They did not do shit for me. That's from Ron in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And
it might not be that we have good pension here pretty quick. You know, and we'll see what happens September 30th or October 1st. So, it's pretty dicey. Pretty dicey unless somebody steps up. And you heard Thane say either the corporation's going to pay it or the government's going to pay our pension. But, you know, so far that law hasn't changed. And he didn't do anything in the contract to fix it. So
no. All he did was get people money, and that's the first thing out of his mouth. His historic contract was how much money. As soon as he started throwing money out there, I said, oh boy, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be bad.
Well, some of them got 24% increase.
They deserve every penny, but when you start shoveling money at people, they forget to look at the rest of the contract. I knew exactly what he was doing.
Laid off, though. They didn't get it. There's a few. I mean, there's always exception to a comment, you know, but a lot of them already been laid off.
Yeah. You know,
the ones that got that 24%, I'm sorry.
But they weren't laid off. They were terminated.
Terminated.
Correct.
Yes, and with no... Some of them will not have a chance to reapply. But why would you want to reapply?
That begs the question, why do you want to work for General Motors or any of them?
But, I mean, hey, they voted for a contract and cut their own throat, so.
They did.
Okay. Who sent me this? Larry, I can't pronounce your last name. Prenosky or something like that. Larry sent this, and I played it, I think, last week. It's in November 2023, the United Auto Workers ratified new contracts with the big three automakers with a promise to protect jobs. And it's 3 minutes, so we'll go ahead and play. So far this year, hundreds of workers have been terminated.
I was with Stellantis at Warren Truck Assembly Plant, Local 140, for 9 months, and I was terminated on January 12, 2024. They told us that there was a big issue with absenteeism, that as long as we were coming to work, showing up and doing our job, we were on the pathway to full-time. So I believed them. I had never been late. I had never missed a day. I put my all into my job. I held myself to the highest standard on every job that I did. I was proud to work there. You know, I've been here almost 2 years, and I was terminated untimely in March via text message. I have reached out to the union, and they've been really unsupportive, and they acted like they didn't care.
When I got that text message on the 13th of January of 2024, that hurt. That hurt really bad. Because I'm like, what did I do? I did everything that I was supposed to do. I contacted my union steward and I asked him, well, what's going on? Why was I terminated? He couldn't give me no answer.
Obviously, I was devastated. I was expecting to be, you know, rolled over to full time. So once I was terminated, I reached out to every level of representation from the union, the local level, the regional level, as well as the international level. I was given the runaround every single time from all of them.
They don't really represent the temp workers, even though, you know, they take our union dues from us and they should represent us.
I thought the union was supposed to bring balance and protection, you know, within the company. That's not what's happening at all. Sean Fain, in my opinion, did not truly fight the way that he should have for us.
He didn't have our back. You too busy going out the country or the state to get other companies to be unionized. You're not even worried about what's going on here. You have yet to come talk to us.
We paid for representation. We paid for, you know, protection. And we're not receiving it.
They took money from us. They manipulated us to vote yes on a contract that we didn't really support.
I got people together to have a protest.
outside of the Solidarity House to oppose the sellout contract, because PPP's got the worst end of the stick, but in reality, nobody won in this contract. It's very unfair what has happened to a lot of us, and this is our livelihood. You know, we were dependent on this job. My message to anyone that is considering joining a union, I think that that is kind of a dangerous move. I don't think that they're putting the membership first.
And you can learn more at UAWUncovered.com. I haven't been there, so I don't know anything about it. That's, there you go.
Wow.
Pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is.
I've heard that before, and I think the burden falls as much on management for doing all of that. I'd like to place that where it really belongs, because they hire, fire, and discipline for cause, not us. Okay, but
right,
you know, obviously
right,
with a lot of our help, but you know, so that's management in the end. That's what they did. They negotiated those. They knew these people weren't going to be around long. Yeah, we got 24%. And every one of them, you know, I don't know, the regular rank and file with more seniority, they didn't get 24%. Just looks good when you're talking to CNN, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, I just went to the UAW Uncovered. It's got a lot of stuff on there.
That.
I want to go on record that I support our union, but I don't like anything that's illegal going on in our union at all. And having said that, our just a second, if you don't mind, I just want to, Article 2, Section 4 says we are to enforce existing laws, and when they break them, we got a responsibility to stand up, because we just had something with the governor here. It said, I stood mute when they said, down with America. Okay. My oath of office, or my military oath, said I'm supposed to, it doesn't expire. My oath says that I'm supposed to uphold the Constitution. I happen to know that every elected person in the state of Michigan also has to do that. And my point is, you can do that by taking action or inaction. Okay. In other words, if you stand mute on an issue that is bad, just like what's going on here, then you're just guilty. You violated your oath. And our governor just did that, as far as I'm concerned. And she didn't stand up to say, you know, the death to America, that that's wrong. Because guess what? She needs those uncommitted votes when she tries to take on the Democratic first ballot at the convention, the national convention. That's what's going on. And it's dirty politics. And it's not in the best interest of the United States of America, just like this isn't in the best interest of our union. Or any union. When this comes out, if this passes, and people come after us for passing an illegal union, and those right-to-work people out there will do that, we're just trying to prevent a black eye here by educating everybody exactly what this shit is.
Right.
So, thanks for that forbearance, Don. I appreciate that just for a second. So,
yeah, more than welcome. You just jump in and you know more about what's going on than I do.
I'm just another humble member. Anybody that thinks they're above the membership, and I had a guy that thought he was president. He was president, and he literally said, "I used to be like you line workers, but then I became president of my local union." And I'm going, "Really? You're better than the members? You know, who is better than any one of us? We're all humble members here. That's it. Period."
But some know more than others. You know more than I do, so I'll always hand you the microphone. Just like Dick Danjan knew a hell of a lot more than me. We gave him the microphone. So you're in that boat, buddy. Whether you like it or not, you're in that boat. So we'll
I got a lot of good stuff out of Dick, too. He wasn't my only mentor. He wanted to claim that, but he's a good mentor of mine, and he fine-tuned a lot of what I know. And I came to him with a lot of information, but he fine-tuned a lot of it, and he taught me how to run this UAW. We'd have had it fixed by now. We'd have been there. Believe me.
Yeah, I sure wish he was still alive. And but we do have you, and that's a good thing. We have people like you.
And I miss him, you know. Dick and I talked for 3.5 years, every day of the year, no less than probably 2 hours, and as long as 13.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that.
Oh, yeah. He had my ear, and I listened just like a sponge, you know. And a lot of repeated stuff. That's fine. Some of it for emphasis. But we took 3 days off. We took Labor Day. He insists we take Labor Day off, his birthday, December 10, and Christmas. And I got to meet his whole family on the phone.
Oh, that's good.
Including his daughter. It was nice talking to his daughter. She's a wonderful lady.
I talked to him on the phone when he was in the hospital right before he died. And he told me, you continue the show. You continue the show. And he was so weak. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He knew a lot of stuff.
He was a stubborn guy. I'll tell you that. He'd call me on a Sunday afternoon and keep me on the phone. I said, Dick, we're going to be on the air in about 5 minutes. We got to hang up. My phone's about to die anyway.
He loved to talk. Where did him on the phone?
Told me things that...
The interesting thing about Dick Danjen, he was personal friends with the authors like Howard Schwartz, friends with Edward Deming. You know, these are names that are famous in just the psychology of unionism and even the organizations of management. You know, Deming is an expert at getting, he's largely accredited with, reconstruction of Japan because of his management abilities. So, and I'm not sure if that was total accurate, but he got credit for it. And a lot of his stuff come back here. So, and that the team, everybody has a team now because of Edward Deming. So,
he would talk about him a lot. He would talk about him a whole lot. So,
Dick is a good guy. Yeah. So, well, gang, I don't have much else to add tonight. We covered those issues. I want to again thank Stephanie for being who she is, and you do have more authority than they're giving you credit for.
Yeah.
I urge you to use it wisely, but when you need to use it, because that's you're a manager of our union now, so you have to run it like it's a little small company, and those people that jeopardize your legitimacy, they need to be reined in, one way or another.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You keep doing it, there, girl, and I think you'll be our president someday in the international. Good luck with that.
That's
about all I have, Don. Scott, thanks for asking me to come on tonight.
You come
Thank
on
you
anytime
on.
You need to come on, all right? Leroy, you can come on anytime you want to.
Thanks, Leroy, because I always learn something from you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you for that. A lot
teacher.
Of people say that, actually.
Well, it's true. You're a good teacher.
Yes.
I try.
And we're listening.
And that's, I spent my whole life preparing to be your leader, and it just never worked out. So I appreciate all the support I've had over
the
years. Thank you.
You can still be a leader. You can do exactly what you've been doing, educating people.
Yeah, we're still working behind the scenes, believe me. We got a lot
there
of stuff going on behind the scenes. All right. Well, I'll say goodnight, and you guys finish up your show there, and I'll just listen.
All right, my friend.
All right.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, Leroy.
God bless.
Leroy's a good man right there. For helping
Amen.
Out. Yeah, he's a good man. I hired in at 78. I've been retired 9 years now. April 1st was 9 years. Wow.
So time you retired out with 9 years, and I just retired, and I was on the fence. Wondering if I should stick around so they could pick my date, or if I should just...
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I'm afraid of is us old-timers in Ford and Stellantis, I still call it Chrysler, when we all retire, now Scotty's the only one still working, and when we all retire, we're going to have a bunch of tier workers voting on our contract.
Yeah, and they're going to vote themselves out. As far as Scotty, William Wood, I worked at Chesterfield, 1-2, Mount Clemens, Utica, and now I'm at Van Dyke. I retired at Van Dyke. But if Scotty, because the voice sounds familiar, he might have worked at one of the plants. Because when I hear his voice, it's like, I thought I worked with him because he went to Romeo and I was at Chesterfield.
And well, Scotty's a GM 50, but I don't think he's worked there. But Scotty, speak up.
No, I'm a GM gypsy.
Oh, that's no problem. No problem.
Yeah, I started out went from Kalamazoo to Grand Blanc. Kalamazoo's closed. Grand Blanc is gone. I went to Janesville. They're closed and gone. I went Grand Blanc to Grand Rapids. They're gone. And I went to Janesville. They're gone. And I wound up here in Flint.
And I retired before he could jinx Chevy truck from going on there. My dad worked at Grand Blanc, Scotty.
Oh, he's a tank plant. That's what we call him, the old tank plant.
The old tank plant.
Yeah, off of Martin and Hoover, Sainer.
It's how sad.
Now, did your dad build tanks?
No.
He
didn't. But he started at Fisher One, where the old sit-down strike, but he kept getting laid off. And they bring him back, you know, the 90-day warrior. So, he went to Grand Blanc, and he never did get laid off. So he stayed in Grand Blanc. That was the loudest plant I have ever toured in my life. I walked in there, and I was about 3 feet from my dad screaming to get his attention. And it was so loud, I couldn't even hear my voice come out. I've never been in a plant so freaking loud. It was awesome, just terrible. And the oil, holy moly. The air was thick. Thick with that crap.
Yep. Oil and cutting fluids. And nothing like being in a press room, hearing those presses go up and down and booming and banging.
Oh, boy. It was noisy. So loud. And the overhead crane, my friend ran that, Jimmy, or Eddie Henderson. He was one of the crane operators up on the ceiling.
Right.
You remember? I don't know if they had it when you were there, but
they
had an overhead crane. Yeah, he ran that.
Right.
It's crazy.
Oh, die changes. They're overhead crane.
Before I hired in at General Motors, I was a disc jockey, and I met the superintendent from my dad's plant. He said, "Oh, I love your dad, man. He can do anything." And I said, "Well, I like to get an application because, my wife is pregnant, no insurance. Well, you want to quit spinning records?" I said, "Hell yeah." I hated that. He said, "Okay." So he gave me a little like index card application. He said, I'll have you start Monday. And then I toured the plant. And I said, "Hell no. I can't breathe that shit all day long." No way. And then my friend got me into truck plant. And then I got laid off. Almost went time for time in the 80s, early 80, 81. Had a big layoff. That's when the first time they voted for the General Motors wanted to get some of their benefits back. You know, we had some good benefits in that 79 contract.
Yes.
That's when the military made state by hiring people underneath when they laid off.
Mm.
Because that's when the Ford had to buy the head off for the buyout.
Right.
When I got hired in the 93, because it's like, well, we got too many people. And they're getting ready to retire. It's like, how are you going to get rid of them? They ain't going to go nowhere unless you offer them a buyout. Well, that's what they did for me. I didn't mean it. I could stick around, but it's like, I'm gifted because they offered it, but if they would have never coincided and people would have came back with their 10-year seniority that they lost and had to start over. Retired people underneath, crew that was laid off. And I mean, that's just my thing. That's it.
Hmm.
But that's happened. You know.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, when you gotta go, when you gotta have the union in management, it's like when Fain says, "Oh, this is the historical contract." It's like, hell, what do they make? $340,000 a year? Who the fuck is a man? You know, who's me? You? Anybody that's still working there? But we're going back. We're going back to work, and these people, because we only shut down certain situations. So when things figured, we didn't even vote. We're all going back to work the next day, and we'll vote on it. Fuck that. We didn't even vote. We're going back to work.
Yeah.
The historical contract. It's like.
That was odd going back to work.
You got the union saying, well, President Solidarity House, oh, we're going to go back to work, sending people back to work. You didn't. You're hurting them. But you hurted the membership more than you did the fucking company. Because we are retired.
A lot of folks.
Young kids in, they can scat all they want to if they're going to stick around. But what about us? These kids don't have a clue. We're retiring. We're retired.
Yeah.
What are they going to do when they bust their fannies like we did?
I don't know if they're going, you know, the way they, like at our plant, we have local 598 Chevy truck. They brought in hundreds of robots, before I retired. They eliminated a whole slew of jobs in the body shop.
Yeah, because, you know, you bring in a robot, that's limiting five people's jobs.
Yeah, it took a lot of people. Yeah. I think they said a lot of those robots took three people, I think it was, back then.
Depending on what they do, exactly.
Yep.
3 to 5.
And
you
Scotty,
know what?
Go ahead.
The robots are going to be sitting there, stagnant, if they don't have a crumb on the the floor, it knows how to do anything with them.
I think it was Brazil. Dick Dangin sent me a tape. It was a Ford plant. Yeah, I think it was Brazil. Scotty, you might remember this too.
That plant's been there since.
Well, hold on. No. This is a brand new plant. And I'm not sure it was Brazil, but it was ran by robots. Vehicles going down the line, you've seen one person. There was one person, and all this work was being done. Tires were being put on by a robot. I mean, the whole plant only had just a slew of workers looking at computers. That's all they were doing. And you didn't see anybody. And Dick said, here's your future. One of these days, this is how it's going to be. You remember that, Scott?
Yeah, it was Brazil, and it was built in, I believe, the late 90s, and they called it the first lights-out plant because they didn't have to have much lighting at all. And like I said, there was only a handful of people to drive and put stock up here or there. The rest of it was all automated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They built
they all wore, you know, black pants and blue shirts, male or female, and they all came together in the lunchroom and had meetings because there wasn't a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
In 1991, I was in school and in a management course is when they started talking about robots in the factories and eliminating most of the people.
Wow.
And how, because we also had to deal with finance in that,
mm-hmm.
and how
tax dollars,
the cost would be so much lower.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have to have lights on.
No,
the only thing you have to run is air conditioning.
That's it.
Yep.
They got to stay cold. Cold.
Right.
Before I
control, right.
Let me just mention this before we run out of time. We got about 3.5 minutes. I get a 313 phone number. There's no name to it, but it sends me Tiger stuff. I don't know who that is. I have no idea who that is. And I want to appreciate that. I don't know who you are. I do appreciate that. And the Tigers are on a winning streak. He sent me this and that. He stopped sending me things. I go, don't stop, but just tell me who in the hell you are, please.
It's me, Adrian.
Was that you? You don't have a 313 number, do you?
Yes, I do.
Was that you sending me that?
Yes, it was.
Well, I didn't know that. Well, thank you.
It was opening day. The last one was the opening day. I was just ecstatic that they won.
They won today, too, in the eighth inning. They were losing 3-0 in the eighth inning, and they scored 4 runs and won 4-3 over Minnesota after dropping a double.
All right.
Or yesterday. Yes. We're back.
Yeah,
9-6
I missed the games because I was pissed off about some other stuff.
Well,
I didn't watch the games.
Well, you would have been pissed off for 8 innings then until the 8th inning. Oh, man.
But, yeah, that's me that's sending you that stuff.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to stop.
And I didn't know. I said, well, I don't know if he's getting it, and so that's why I stopped.
Well, that's why I didn't answer, because I don't know who in the hell it was. So I said, well, keep on coming with that.
Put my name on in your contacts on there.
It's the precious moment.
That's what it was. You didn't have my name on there.
Yeah, I didn't have your name at all. Just 313 and a number, and I'm going, I don't know who in the hell this person is at all. But I like it. I enjoy looking at those opening day and then again some other stuff you sent me when they were winning. And I said, yeah, hell yeah. And all of a sudden it stopped. I didn't know that was you. Well,
yes, that was
I don't
me.
Even know how to do that on a phone. I don't know how in the hell you people do that. Send crap like that in the mail or on your phone. But I enjoy it. So thank you.
I got it. You know what? I've got to come up your way at some point in time so that we can look at this phone of yours and give you some pointers on some stuff.
all I know is Pornhub. Now, I get Pornhub pretty good, but that's about all. Pornhub is a good site, educational site. When you're my age, you need education.
Don't go there.
You brought me off the listener list. You got me laughing.
Don and I are the same age.
Yes, we are.
And I'm just finding out today that our retirement day is the same. I didn't know that.
Oh, you're today. April 1st, too? Well,
April Fool's.
There's three of us.
Amen.
There's three.
Yes, there's three of us now that I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And I've been retired for 6 years.
I've been 9.
God bless us all.
Damn right. We put in our time. Wherever we work, we put in our time. I guarantee you that.
For sure.
Yeah.
We're blessed.
Yes.
When we started working, we walked on cement. Remember that? There was no cushion. So, you know, that rubber cushion they put on there now. It was nothing but cement, and your feet hurt like hell.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, in the plant that I worked, and it was relatively newer, they did this in 99. But anyway, they made those floors. Those floors were meant for the machines, not for us.
You damn right.
And so they're not good floors. People, I know that I had a knee issue, but, you know, got it straightened out, and it's like, oh, no, I got to get the hell up out of Fords because Fords is tearing up my body. But I had already said that I was only going to do 21 years there. And that's what I did and come out.
a prison sentence. I think I'm going to only get 21 years, but I can do it.
Right. Now, and on top of that, you're in prison, you got to work.
Yeah, that's right. You work for your dollar.
All three squares and a cop, you got to work.
That's right. And Adrian, if you come to help me with my phone, I think we should meet at the Holiday Inn on Bristol Road.
Stop it.
You need to stop that shit.
I was just saying it's off the damn expressway, and it'd be easier for her. Come on, folks. Get your head out of the gutter. Jeez.
If it's all freeway, like I say, you got to get in, sit down, shut up, and hold on because it's all freeway.
Okay, guys.
You got to go to Leanne's show too. Give you a little break.
There you go. Jennifer Evans said Pornhub to Holiday Inn. Now, come on, Jennifer. Get your head out of the gut too. Leroy. Okay, Leroy.
We don't get as grouchy as they were last night.
No, last night we went 5.5 hours last night. That's what I said. Holy cow.
Oh my God.
Okay, folks, we're in. We'll be back next Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. I want to thank Leroy for being here, and he's welcome anytime. Keep us educated, Leroy. You're our man.
Thanks, Leroy.
And we have a new caller tonight, and I want to thank him for being here. You show up. Don't be a stranger. Come on.
Who's that? Me?
Who's that? You.
Well, my feet don't fit a branch. I know. I love the show, but sometimes it's like I'm at home. It's like 7 o'clock. I catch the show.
I guess.
It's the only Sunday that I know. But, hey, God bless everybody here.
Thank you very much. Back at you. And everybody, have a great night. Stay safe. Be safe and be kind to your neighbor and your coworkers.
There you go.
Take care. Everybody, next Sunday night, I hope. Good night, everybody.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.
And hang on.